views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is Cooking Like a Pro. You have found us. This is Chef Cal, and sitting across from my beautiful Mrs. Chef.
Hello, good evening.
You know, the problem is you can't really just call us, you can't say chef in our house because we'll both answer.
Well, in our house,
you know,
it's mom.
And, anyway, you found us again, KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM. If you'd like to give us a call down here, if you have any burning cooking questions or food-related questions, 530-605-4567. Again, that number, 530-605-4567. And we've been talking about a variety of things, but one of the things that's really been on my heart lately and in my mind is eating healthier. You know, we talk about it a lot. We talk about organics. My wife's actually very holistic. There's a lot of things that she uses that are, you know, holistic style things like cumin and turmeric and, you know, all those cool things. You can get all your vitamins and minerals and things like, but reading food labels is just one of them, and reading and understanding the ingredients. So that's kind of one of the things that I wanted to talk just a little bit about at the beginning of the show here. And one of the questions my wife had was, well, why talk about that? And I just think that there's a lot of good information that you can get off of that. You know, we're looking to be healthier. I mean, the basic things you get is your energy, which is going to be your calories. You're going to get, as far as nutritional content, you're going to get the ingredients that are in it as well. And one of the more important things as well is allergies, you know, allergic warnings, so to speak. So, and when it's going to go bad, when you have to sell it by, there's a lot of stuff on there, but I like to know where it comes from. I like to know what I'm eating.
There's tons of things on there, but the two things I look at on the label are ingredients and fiber content. That's really the only two things I look at. And then the third thing is serving size.
Serving size. I was just going to say that. They trick you like, oh, hey, here's a bag of corn chips. It's only, you know, 100. Well, and today is National Chip Day. Is
corn
that
National chip
corn
day.
Chip corn
Day.
Chip.
What a brilliant
Thanks, Ben. I appreciate that information earlier. I generally don't care what day it is. National, maybe Taco Day, I guess that might be a big one.
That might be a big one. You know, I hope it's always on a Tuesday.
But there's a day for everything.
But a corn chip day leads us to walking tacos.
Walking tacos.
That's the Frito pie and the walking taco.
Yeah, well, we're actually going to get into tacos quite a bit later on in the show. But the walking tacos was something that's okay. Well, my wife happens to be Scoutmaster. She does all the stuff with the kids. I, as the assistant, I kind of come alongside and take them on hikes and, you know, shooting and things like that. But anyway, this walking taco is a kind of a cool thing to do when you're out there, you know, camping.
And that's where I learned it was through Scouts. I'd never heard of a walking taco until we were out walking and camping and went, oh, this is easy. Okay, cool.
Taco in a bag sometimes. I've heard it, but the key is you got to use Fritos.
You have to use Fritos.
Yeah, you got to use Fritos. But it, basically, the walking taco, if you've never had one, is just cut the top of the bag off. You folks can do this for your kids at home. Just heat up some chili, put the chili right, you know, cut the top of the Frito bag off, pour some chili in there on top of your chips and a little bit of cheese, whatever else you might want. Kids generally probably not much more than that. Me, I'd do cilantro and, you know, minced red onion and sour cream, guacamole, and it'd be like a walking seven-layer burrito.
So since we're talking about labels, you keep talking. I'm going to pull up the label in a Fritos bag. We may not want to eat walking tacos after
you. Well, let's
not
talk about that. But anyway, but getting to the serving size, you know, it says, okay, it's 150 calories per in the top of the bag, and it's the biggest thing on the label is the number of calories, because that's what everyone's looking for. And then right next to it, in much smaller print, you got to read the fine words, it says serving size 4 per container. So you eat the whole container thinking you're getting 150, and if you're not paying attention, you actually would have been getting 4 times that much. You would have been getting 600 calories. Because, you know, you can only eat, you can't just eat one. Remember the Lay's commercial? You can't eat just one Lay's. Wasn't it Lay's?
Pringles.
Yeah. I was going to ask our engineer in there, but he's too young to have even heard that.
And we're too old to remember it.
Well, that works out good. So, but kind of, I want to know what's good and what's bad. This day and age, when you start, you know, with the food dyes, again, and I've mentioned this and I'll keep mentioning it, you know, the FDA, and hopefully this is going to change. But right now there's 10,000 different ingredients that can go in our food. Food on the shelf, food in the fridge, food in the counter, food in the freezer, whatever. 10,000 ingredients. And,
hey, guess what? Yeah, I looked up Fritos.
Yeah. Well, hold on. And Europe has 700. Oh. 700. So we have 10,000 in the United States that they can stick in there. How many of those are bad for us?
A lot.
Okay. Fritos, you looked it up.
Three ingredients.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The canola oil, one of them?
Corn, vegetable oil, and salt.
Vegetable oil and salt.
Corn oil and salt, that's it.
There you go. It's National Chip Day, folks. Run down there and have a walking taco. I guess you can do that as well. Well, good. Then Fritos are, those go to the Bobby approved.
Christy, I don't think they're Bobby approved, but they will pass as the, less than 10 ingredients.
Okay. Well, actually, tell them about Bobby approved, because I didn't know about it, and then I heard from someone, and my wife's like, oh yeah, I use that all the time.
Yeah.
You know, so she doesn't share.
Yeah, it's an app on my phone. Bobby approved. Look it up.
Oh, there's an app?
Yeah, there's an app.
It's not on my phone.
It's because it's on my phone, because I do the shopping.
Well, I shop too. Okay.
All right. On your phone.
Okay, Bobby approved. Well, okay, well, let's ask the obvious question. Who's Bobby?
Bobby.
Do we know?
You just put me on the
some
spot.
Random,
not Bobby Flay.
Some random Bobby?
Bobby Parrish.
Bobby Parrish.
He's primarily on Instagram, and he goes to Costco, and he goes to Whole Foods, and he goes to Aldi. And
do you pay money for that information?
Nope, it is free. Oh,
well, there you go.
It is free.
Bobby approved. Maybe she does Chef Cal approved. It would be, yeah. It would be the gold standard. It would be different, though, because, you know, I want a big, thick, marbled steak, you know, so approved maybe for, you know, gluttonous behavior. But
tax write-off, too.
Yeah, tax write-off. Yeah, I hadn't thought about the food being a tax write-off before, but I guess since that's what we talk about. But, again, it's just there's so many different ingredients in there, and I want to know, you know, what I'm putting in my body, right? You know, again, garbage in, garbage out. You know, if you're eating nothing but garbage, you're not going to have any energy. You're just going to have, you know, fat that continues to, you know, multiplying in your system.
And well, and even beyond the back's got, you know, the calories and the protein and the fat and the thing on the front that says no added sugar. That is a misnomer, because you'll think there's no sugar in it. There's no added sugar to it. There could be natural occurring sugar.
So that'd be fructose versus sucrose or glucose.
No, those are all sugars. Yeah, any added sugar. Any naturally occurring sugar, let's say it's in a fruit.
Yeah,
so they're not taking a can of sugar and adding it to the mix. They're not doing that. But that's really tricky when you get into, like, fruit. You'll get fruits that say no sugar added, but they add fake sugar for flavor, and you will get them, and they got that.
No regular sugar added.
No regular sugar
they
added.
They should have to put that word on there.
So on the back, a lot of times you'll see sucrose or maltose, a lot of these different sugars.
I'm calling the FDA out on that one, and we'll see what they say about it. But yeah, you know, and another thing is food has become addictive, and I want to know what it is. I want to eat stuff that's good for me, not because I'm addicted to it, but because it's good for me.
Well, they put in things that you want. You want sweet. You want salty. Those kinds of things. They use citric acid a lot. I mean, citric acid isn't bad for you, but it is one of the key ingredients to keep you eating and drinking more, because you just, Skittles, you eat it. Like you
no, want, no, you don't eat Skittles.
No, you don't, but I'm saying that's one of the key ingredients in chips and candy that makes you want to eat more, because it makes your mouth water.
Well, there you go. I guess they've figured it out. But anyway, I just want good food that's good for me. So again, appreciate you tuning in and cooking like a pro here. We're going to take a quick break and we will be back here at KCNR 1460 AM in just a moment.
I don't want French fried potatoes, red ripe tomatoes. I'm never satisfied. I want the frim frim sauce with the O's and they wish a fava on a side.
Happy New Year, Redding, from your friends at Black Bear Diner, reminding you that if you're looking for more food, more fun, and more family, this is the place to be. You can count on a warm atmosphere and deliciously fresh, home-style food. It's the perfect spot for every generation, with something for everyone. Come for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive, Redding.
Black Bear Diner.
The Shasta College Community Education Catalog for spring-summer is out. You may have received a hard copy in your mailbox, or you can view all the courses online. If you're looking for some fun adventures, maybe you want to get in shape, or maybe you're looking to start a side hustle or new business, the community education courses have something for everyone. Check it out today at shastacollege.edu.
Hi, I'm Steve Coburn, proud owner of Country Air Pet Resort here in Redding. I invite you to come and take a tour of my revitalized pet resort. Our goal here at Country Air is to make sure your pet can relax and have a healthy, happy time away from home. With friendly, caring people, lots of fresh air and exercise, good healthy food, and plenty of pampering. There are no small cages here. What we offer are large temperature-controlled runs and spacious exercise yards that are great for fun and socialization. We even offer daycare. Cats are treated to a two-room apartment plus playtime in our playroom. So stop by and take a tour of the best. You and your pet will want to come back to Country Air Pet Resort, where our motto is, we treat your pets as if they were our own. Country Air Pet Resort, 549-3335.
With a cleaver, I hack them in two. I pull out what's inside and I serve it.
Welcome back. You have found a still. Thanks for continuing to tune in here at Cooking Like a Pro. You know what? I want to make sure that I mention that if you want to, you know, type in a cooking question, you can always do that. Where do they go to do that?
Cooking Like a Pro Podcast.
Cooking Like a Pro Podcast. Yeah, I try not to get, I don't want to get too techie. I'm afraid I'll start forgetting, you know, recipes and stuff. But I had this thought the other day, and this kind of goes along the lines of one of the questions that I'm asked, you know, most often, and that's, how do you get all your food to come up at the same time? So the idea, the theory behind that is getting used to, I'm just going to call it cooking backwards. Okay, so we know that we want to eat at, let's say, dinner 6:30. So we just start. If something takes an hour, let's say we're doing steak, baked potatoes, and a vegetable. All right, so our baked potato takes the longest. It's going to take an hour, you know, wrapped in foil if you want, in a 400-degree oven. So that takes an hour. So we're going to start that. Instead of 5:30, we want to eat at 6:30. So maybe we start it because the potato is going to stay nice and hot and fresh.
Yeah, it can hold.
Yeah, it can hold. Yeah, it holds well. Good point. So what time are we going to start that?
Oh, I would say probably 5.
Yeah, 5:15. Yeah, well, it's definitely not going to take any more. I mean, unless your potatoes like the size of a spaghetti squash.
I would say if you are not experienced, start at 5 to give you some leeway if you're doing other things. If you're more experienced and you can get everything together and wrapped up and put it together in 15 minutes, then yes.
Well, have you ever gone in to a restaurant and had a baked potato, especially one that's wrapped in foil, and it's just old? I mean, it tastes old.
Oh, because they've been sitting in the window. Didn't you call that something? You call it sandbagging?
No. Or something like that? Well, yeah, it's cooking way more than you need ahead of time instead of cooking, you know, like if we're cooking potatoes for the restaurant and you're open for dinner from 5 to 10, then, you know, you start off with a pan of potatoes at 4, then another one at 5, another one at 6. So then they're done in, you know, in different regiments.
Aggressively.
Yeah, Yeah, so you know, as long as you're grabbing the right potatoes. But anyway, so cook backwards. Start, let's say, an hour and 15 minutes out.
Let me add to that 5:15 thing. Get them in the oven at 5:15, but you still need to prep them, oil them, make sure they're washed, ready to go, your pan's ready, your oven's preheated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you will have to start 15 minutes earlier than that before you can stick them in.
We can actually just, I mean, it's how long does it take to prep a potato? You know, you clean it, you butter it, oil it, season it, wrap it up if you want to wrap it. If you don't, doesn't matter. You can have that completely ready, you know, the day before. You know, I wouldn't wrap it in foil if you're going to do it, you know, the day before. I don't like wrapping things in foil. If you're using a really good foil, it's not going to break down. But, you know, when you're dealing with foil, most of it's fairly thin and cheap, and that aluminum, you are getting some of that aluminum in your diet.
Yeah, well, pretty much everything you come in contact with, you're going to get a little bit of something off of it.
Yeah.
So we want to go with a heavier duty or higher quality.
Okay, so let's move on to the steak. All right, okay, the steak is going to take, depending on how thick it is, depending on how you want to cook it, there's a variety of ways, okay? But let's say, in this case, the steak's going to take 15 minutes to cook, okay? And then how long is it going to take to rest? Now, remember, resting means we're going to allow that meat, that beef in this case, to sit for, you know, an extended amount of time, maybe, you know, I think usually between 8 and 10 minutes. It depends on how fast you cook it. If you cook it slow, it doesn't matter because there's not that much activity going on inside the meat. But if you cook it fast on a char grill or maybe, you know, in a saute pan, you braise something where it's high temp, you know, you want to carry over, but you don't want all the juice to run out. That's actually a good point. If you are going to be eating your meat and when you put it on a plate, there's juice on the cutting board, then that's less flavor. That's flavor that was supposed to be in the meat.
You cut it too soon.
Yeah. We cut it too soon, didn't let it rest correctly, a lot of different ways. You know, we used to have kind of a warmer area in the back of the kitchen, so if you pull something out like, you know, a rack of lamb or something, maybe it would go in an area where it was a little warmer than ambient, but it was, you know, kind of a kitchen temperature.
Now, so, question, when you pull something off the grill, you pull something off the pan, and it's screaming hot, it just came off a 350, 400-degree surface, put on a cold plate?
Screaming. No, hot food on hot plates, cold food on cold plates.
How hot? How warm? Are you talking 100 degrees?
No, I don't want it to sizzle when they touch it. I mean, hot to taste is around 145 degrees. All right? Hot water, you know, I mean, you take a shower. What are you taking a shower at, 120 or something? I don't know. But you want it to cool down, and you definitely don't want to put it on a cold plate. Put it on an ambient temperature plate.
So maybe something about body temperature. So if it's not super hot or just a little bit warmer in your hand, not hot, but just a little bit warm.
Yeah, works for me.
Okay.
So we have this steak that's going to take 15 minutes, and again, we're going to eat at 6:30. So we're going to fire that steak about, it's going to take 15 minutes. We're going to fire it about, you know, 25 minutes early. So we're going to fire that steak just shortly after 6 o'clock, maybe around 6:05. And I don't mean to make it sound complicated, but we'll put it this way. Take notes. And you will get so good at this, and it will make your life so much easier in the kitchen. Because I see the way what it's done to my wife, you know, over the, you know, the decades here. I mean, she's really knows how to pull something together where everything's coming off nice and hot.
Well, it comes down to how long does it take to prep it, how long does it take to cook it, how long does it take to hold it.
And then, so the last thing is going to be your vegetable. Let's say in this case the vegetable is going to take 5 minutes. So maybe we're going to start that vegetable at, you know, we're eating at 6:30, so we're going to start it at, you know, 6, you know.
6:10?
No. If you're going to eat at 6:30, I would just back that off about 7 or 8 minutes. If it's going to take 5 minutes because you still want it to be hot, so maybe around 6:25. So we start our potato at 5:30. Our steak, we started at 6:05. And then our vegetable, we started at around 6:20. And then everything comes off, and it's all hot at the same time. That's how you do it. That's what you need to do, folks. Learn how to cook backwards. That doesn't mean walking backwards. That just means find out what time your dinner is and then just work your way towards that. And, you know, it works for me, and I've seen it work for a lot of people, but it's kind of just a different way of thinking. So anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We appreciate you listening to Cooking Like a Pro, Chef Tao and Mrs. Chef, back in just a moment.
like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning and out in the garden, get your ripe ones, don't get a hard one. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer. All winter without them's a culinary bummer. I forgot all about the sweat.
Get ready to explore the expansive universe of aviation and cutting-edge space technology in Turtle Bay's newest exhibition, Mission Aerospace, presented by Dr. Eric and Tiffany Blassingame and produced by Minotaur Mazes, on display at Turtle Bay Museum January 18th through April 20th. This highly interactive maze puzzle is sure to inspire all generations. Mission Aerospace at Turtle Bay Museum is free for members and included with paid admission. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Attention Shasta County, the Shasta Firefighters Burn and Benevolent Fund is gearing up for their annual benefit dinner at the Wind River Casino on Saturday, March 15th. Doors open at 4, dinner at 7, and they need your help. The Shasta Firefighters Burn and Benevolent Fund is currently asking for donations to be raffled off or auctioned during their event. All proceeds will go towards supporting our local first responders in their time of need. For more information, go to Shasta Firefighters B&B on Facebook or Instagram.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at HavenHumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
I got beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, rams, hogs, dogs, chicken, turkeys, rabbits. You name it! You name it!
Welcome back to Cooking Like a Pro. My wife, this is Chef Cal, Mrs. Chef, but she, right before we came back after the break, she told me the price per egg, and my headset fell off because my head went back. 62 cents an egg?
62,
really?
63 cents. That's at Walmart.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we actually have chickens. So we have, we have like 7 chickens. We have Lucy and BB that just kind of roam wherever they want. So it's kind of like every day is like an Easter egg hunt. They're just, you know, they'll lay them wherever they feel like it. But then we have the 5 inside that we raised up from little chickies, got them down from Tractor Supply there. And
one was hatched.
Yeah, yeah. And but we got one little black guy. He's just funky looking.
He's silky.
The silky, okay.
Silky,
he's got like feathers on his feet, feathers in his ears.
He's got
feathers,
donking hairdo.
Yeah. I like him. I call him Fluffy now.
I call him Fluffernutter.
Yeah. Then the other 4 though, they're just regular hens, I suppose. I don't know what else they are, but I'll tell you that, you know, we're getting an egg, which is what you get. You get 1 egg per chicken per day.
Yeah, approximately.
So, you know, we're getting, you know, 7 eggs a day now. So, the eggs are stacking up pretty good. So how do you use eggs? You know, and I love eating eggs. I'm an egg person. I know that for years they said that eggs were bad for you. Oh my goodness.
But you don't want to waste eggs right now because they are so expensive.
Yeah.
How much do eggs used to cost? Let's say 20 years ago. How much per egg do you know?
It used to be in the teens, you know, 15, 16 cents an egg.
Now they're 62, 63 and on up, depending upon where you shop.
Yeah. And when we buy eggs for the restaurant, usually you buy them in a box, which is 15 dozen. And, I know that because I've cracked enough eggs in my life. But anyway, they are good for you. You know, and I think that that's some, I mean, they're not high in cholesterol, which is a total myth. People kind of think about them as being high in cholesterol. No.
They are the perfect protein. They have, because there's different amino acids that you need in a protein, and they are considered the perfect proteins. They have every single one of them in there.
Now they don't affect your blood cholesterol, so that's, you know, but there's been that myth there. But they're really you know, I mean, make a quiche. You can just do so much with them, cooking with the vegetable, make an omelet. You know, one thing we used to really enjoy with them, Dad had this thing about cooking breakfast for dinner. Now, I don't know how many other people are out there. I don't know, Ben, do you ever eat breakfast for dinner? Maybe when you, yeah, probably not.
Doesn't yes, look like sir.
Do you, okay, you do. So it is a gen, whatever gen you are, gen Z. Okay, are you Z?
Unless, of course, my mom has cooked up a fabulous meal.
Oh, there you go. So, but Dad used to do it all the time. Basically because it's filling and it's satisfying, but you also have sweet and salty coming together. You know, you got pancakes with syrup and salty bacon or sausage, you know, I'm more of a hash brown person than I am kind of like a home fried person. And, I'm not sure about you.
I grew up with cottage potatoes.
Okay.
And a seasoned potato with celery salt and then you have sour cream and green onions and yeah, those kind of potatoes.
Well, sounds good.
Yeah,
sour cream too.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you're making breakfast tomorrow. But again, breakfast for dinner, you can do so many things with it. I know last week we talked about how to peel them, and you want to peel them while it's still warm under running water. And remember, it's always, you cook them in boiling water for 13 minutes. Be careful when you put them in there so they don't break. I usually let the water, shut the water off so it's not agitating. Put the eggs in there. Let them go for 13 minutes. Take them out. Put them in ice water.
And I'm not usually much of an egg eater, but because you got me a blender for Christmas so I could make my morning shakes. And I'm going, you know what? I used to put eggs in my shakes back in the day, back when I was in college. But I start poaching them. I crack them open in a little dish in the microwave, just a little bit of water, and I can poach them in 30 seconds. I have a poached egg that I can add to my shake, and you can't even taste it. But I'm getting that extra protein and that extra.
It probably makes it a little more luscious.
Yeah, it does. It's a little more creamy, and it's coming from homegrown chicken, so I know that I'm getting really good ingredients, and they've got good minerals and good
food. You know that brown eggs don't come from brown chickens.
They can.
They can come
from red chickens, too.
Well, along those lines, 13% of people believe that chocolate milk comes from a brown cow.
I would believe it.
Yeah.
But did you know that, of course you know, but I'm going to put that there to everybody else, there's really no difference between brown eggs and white eggs.
Oh, no.
Brown eggs are not healthier than white eggs. That is a misnomer.
Yeah, well, it kind of looks like they would be.
Well, brown rice versus white rice, yeah.
You see them in the organic section and things. I don't know. We got eggs, like, everywhere.
Well, the color of the shell depends upon the chicken. Yeah. That's what determines it.
You know, another myth, so to speak, is that we don't refrigerate our eggs that come out of our chickens. And they're just fine. I mean, the eggs that you get in a store are the shell eggs. Really, only about 3% of them are pasteurized. Shelled eggs are what they pasteurize. And they just warm them up enough to where it's going to kill any bacteria. Mainly eggs would be attached to salmonella, kind of like, salmon is attached to salmonella.
Well, the reason usually they are refrigerated is because they have to wash them. And when you actually wash an egg, then you're washing off any protection that comes from the chicken. There's a natural protection that makes the egg last longer. And so when they wash them, it loses that, so it shortens the span, so that's why they have to refrigerate them.
Yeah, we're trying to make eggs sound good.
I said it gently.
Yeah, sure you did. Oh, well, another thing is, as far as temperature, and this doesn't make any sense to me, but eggs, like many things, you want to keep at a constant temperature. It really doesn't, there's a range, a pretty good range between, a high and low, which you can do, but you want them to be at a constant temperature. And where do they put those little plastic egg things in the refrigerator? In the door. Right there, in the door, there's always this little thing that you put your eggs in there. Every time you open the door, those eggs are getting exposed to whatever the temperature is in the house.
Well, they do the same thing to milk.
Let's say 70, 80 degrees, I don't know.
They've got the milk, they put those big spots that you put your milk in the door. Bad move. Milk should always be in the back of the refrigerator in the coldest spot. Yep. Always.
Always go in the coldest spot. Which, generally, remember, a refrigerator only works because the freezer works. Right, the freezer works, and then there's access from the freezer to the refrigerator, and that's what keeps the refrigerator cold. So if you find that spot, you have to be careful. You want to, the produce is then again is something you want to keep a little further away because you don't want, you know, things that are, you know, head lettuce is 95-96% water.
Well, that's why I've actually
so it's gonna freeze.
I've switched up a refrigerator. I don't put our produce in the produce drawer. I put our produce in the door. Because it is a better temperature for them. It can get really cold in the bottom of the refrigerator. We've lost a lot of things getting frozen in the bottom of the fridge.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the keys is what you just said, lost many things. And basically that's a term, not like we can't find it. It's a term that means we're throwing it away. And think about that. Think about every time you throw something away that's, you know, a food. Go back and say, why am I throwing that away? Did I prep too much? Could that have been frozen and put, you know, kept for later?
Did you buy too much?
Yeah. Like it's fairly difficult sometimes to make small amounts of sauces for some people. You know, I can, but we'll make a gallon of particular sauce. What's that? Coconut, ginger sauce or something that you made. And you know, if you make a gallon of something, then you just portion it out in little 4-ounce portions and then, date it, label it, throw it in the freezer.
Sauces are great to freeze and pull out.
Yeah, we've got a lot of them. But anyway, so eggs, again, good for you. Lots of different things that you can do with them.
Now, how do you make an egg in a hole?
Okay. Egg in a hole. Okay. Well, egg in a hole would just be a piece of bread, and then you just cut a hole in the piece of bread, maybe use a glass or a cup, and cut up maybe a, you know, 2.5-inch diameter hole in the middle of a slice of bread, lay the bread down, cut that hole in there. Throw I used to do with French toast, and I would dip that piece of bread that has a hole in it. I'd dip that in a cinnamon vanilla egg batter, and I'd throw it on the grill, and then you just crack an egg and put the egg in the hole, and then you just let that cook, and it takes maybe 3 or 4 minutes per side, depending on, you know, the griddle and how hot it is and everything else. And it's nice. It's kind of, I used to do that for the old folks home.
That's interesting. I've never heard of that. So you do a French toast dip, egg dip, and an egg in the middle.
With an egg in the middle.
And then the egg, does it set up? Is it hard? Is it thinner?
Cooks perfect. Okay. Cooks perfect. That's what you want.
Okay, got to try that one. I'll make the hash browns if you make the French toast egg in a hole.
French toast egg in a hole. All right. Okay. Sounds good. We can work that one out. All right. Let's see. What else on eggs? I think we've kind of covered most of it. But again, the temperatures, when you buy eggs right now at 62 cents each, you cannot afford, right, for them to go bad. So.
Oh, how to test an egg. How to know if it's good. Do you remember?
Well, I know if it's boiled. If it's a hard-boiled egg, you can spin it, and it will spin like a top. If it does not spin, then it is not cooked. But you really don't want to get your cooked eggs and your raw eggs.
Yeah, mixed up.
Mixed up, yeah.
So, again, so you said we don't wash or, you know, we lightly clean our eggs. We don't, you know, do a big old soap and water rinse on those. But they do sit on the counter. But if I'm not sure how old, if we didn't date it, or if it wasn't a, you know, first in, first out situation, if you fill up a cup or a bowl of water and it lays down in the bottom of the bowl on its side and stays there, it is good. If you see it to start to tip up or to raise or float, no, it is bad because it is old enough that there is starting to develop air in there. So no floating eggs, only lying gently on their side at the bottom of the water bowl.
Okay. So if it floats, it's out.
Yes.
There you go. All right. Yeah, I looked this up for whatever reason. We go through 95 million dozen eggs per year in the United States.
Wow.
Yeah. And that comes out to 279 eggs per person per year. So think about that. I mean, how many, 365, that's less than an egg a year. So, yeah.
It's egg every weekday.
I eat way more eggs than that.
I don't.
Yeah, for the people that don't, then I'm making up for you.
Yeah.
I'm making up for you. But again, I know that I went to a restaurant once, and this was cool. They took an egg, and they cut the top of the shell off. There's a little tool you use. And then they wash the egg shell out, and then they use the cup for a vessel. To serve in this case, they were serving fresh garden chilled tomato soup, which was like a garden in one bite.
Now, let's say you've got a bunch of eggs you need to use up. They sat in the back of the refrigerator, you forgot about them, and you want to use them up. frittata, quiche. How do you do that? So you throw these things together. You go, I've got broccoli sitting there. I've got carrots sitting there. I got cheese sitting there. How do you put together a frittata really quick? Yeah.
Basically, what I do is I will go with my eggs and probably use, you know, maybe at the most 1/5 of an additional liquid. That could be milk. It could be buttermilk. If it's cream, I would use it a little bit even less, though, because that's going to be thicker. But you need some kind of liquid in there to break those whites up. So you want to really whisk it well.
And
so
even water. Water can work, too.
Yeah, water is what you use for an egg wash, like for a pie or something. Well, you can use milk, too. But yeah, then just, you know, whatever's going in to that vegetable. In this case, we were talking about a frittata, which is basically an open-faced. It's kind of the same thing as a quiche. They come from different parts of the world. But basically, we would just want the, I would say whatever vegetables you want. You want to blanch those first, right? You want your let's say you're putting carrots, zucchini, cauliflower. Because those eggs are going to cook and, you know, be done cooking while the vegetables are still raw. So whatever added ingredients you're going to do, make sure that there's nothing that's very, very dense.
So kind of mostly cooked, and you're just kind of bringing the vegetables up to temp with the eggs.
I would say al dente.
Okay.
Right? Al dente to the tooth. Right? Usually used in pasta, in Italian, you know, language, for pasta, not soft, not crunchy, just a slight resistance between your teeth, and then your teeth break through. And again, that's also the perfect temperature for your vegetables. Matter of fact, glass.
Would you get a metal pan, a glass pan, a baking or a pie plate? What do you use to make your frittatas in?
Oh, anything they'll fit in. I mean, you know you can do it in a saute pan or anything that's flat. I mean, you want them to come out the same level. So any kind of a baking dish,
like a loaf pan, would that work?
A loaf pan would work. A cake tin would work.
Okay.
They actually, anything that you would make like meatloaf in.
And do you mix everything in a bowl on the side and then pour it in? Or do you
mix everything on the side, spray your vessel, whatever you're going to cook it in, and then dump it in there. See, make sure it's seasoned well.
And you can add more than vegetables. You can add ham. Mm-hmm. You can add cheese.
Yeah. You know, and if you're not sure, one of the things that we always did when we were cooking is we always made a small amount and tasted it first. So once you make this mixture, you could take in a little pan and, you know, cook maybe an ounce of it or something, just so you can taste the egg mixture, make sure it's seasoned well. Cause it's something that's bound like that, that's encased. It's going to be pretty hard to adjust the seasoning after it's already cooked. Yeah, you can always hit it with, you know, salt and pepper or something, but.
We would always, we'll see if we're going to talk about tacos later. We would take our leftover taco meat from the night before. In the morning, I brown off some celery and some onion, add the taco meat to it, and then just pour the egg mixture that you got with, you know, the water or the milk in it, pour over the top, and that would be our breakfast.
Yeah, well, that would be something you'd call a scramble.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there'd be scrambles, quiche, frittatas. Again, I'm sure every, culture out there has something similar to that. I know we'll look at the Asian. One of my favorite dishes is egg foo young. You know, simple to make, nice little gravy on top. Yeah, those are great. Just real quick, too, is if you are just using the yolks for something, let's say you're just making a hollandaise, making an emulsified sauce, or if you're making mayonnaise, where you're just getting the yolk and you're not using the white, then if you do that, you can save those whites.
And freeze them.
Yeah, freeze them. Put them in a baggie and freeze them. I mean, they'll be fine when you take them out, and later on you get a bunch of these little bags, and you're gonna make a, you know, baked Alaska. You're gonna make some macaroons. I mean, anything that's gonna be, you know, you're gonna make marshmallows.
Yeah, there's egg white cookies that you can make. There's just a little bit of sugar and the eggs and the mocha ones. I think they're on the King Arthur website. They're really good. Mm-hmm. Egg white cookies.
Yep. Well, anyway, a lot of things you can do with egg whites. We used to use them for the baked Alaska, and then we'd catch it on fire, and caught my chef hat on fire once when I was doing that. I was walking in a room holding a baked Alaska up on my shoulder, and people started yelling, and I was like, yeah, I started kind of dancing around. I thought that, you know, they were excited about this flaming baked Alaska that was coming around, and no, they were yelling.
Chef on fire.
And my hat was on fire. So anyway, that was fun time. So anyway, we're going to take our last break. Cooking Like a Pro, you have found us. We appreciate you listening, and we'll be back in just a moment.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Jones's Fort Gun Shop, serving Shasta County for over 50 years. It's a new year and we're very excited about the new leadership for our nation. Jones's Fort is offering the brand new Ruger LCP Max 380 at only $349 and the new Ruger Max 9 at just $395. Jones's Fort, serving all your firearm needs since 1962. You can find us at 1600 East Cypress Avenue or just give us a call, 530-222-3223.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearm Destruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Have you ever wanted to unlock your musical potential? Cascade Curations not only has great music, art, and fashion, we also offer fun and exciting music lessons for all ages and skill levels. Whether you dream of playing the piano, guitar, drums, or vocals, our instructors will guide you every step of the way. With flexible scheduling and personalized instruction, you'll be playing your own tunes in no time. Don't just listen to music, create it. Call or text us at 530-255-4855 to book your first lesson. Cascade Curations, where we believe anyone can learn to play their own song.
Well, thank you. You have found us again for our last segment here, Cooking Like a Pro, KCNR, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM. And we'd like to take just a quick moment to thank Charlie's Tap House for sponsoring our show. They're located just 10 minutes south of town on I-5 in the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center. Whether you're looking for the best variety of authentic homemade pizza, oh, their pizza's so good, delicious selection of Italian pasta dishes, they got those as well, and burgers and sandwiches, just really some great stuff. Their salads, I love their salad, they use a little bit of iceberg and romaine, and both of those, and they're also making a chef, Charlu, actually the owner as well, is making Italian gelato, fresh made in-house, and also don't forget North State's premier beer wall. Fabulous selection of adult beverages. And also I'm excited about this here just to announce that they have their new adventure room serving kids, birthdays, all the needs that they could possibly have. Gigantic room full of colorful bouncy houses for them to jump and bounce and leap and play in, and as well as a super fun arcade games and so much more. And also that they can have the lasting memory of having Charlu himself, the master pizza maker, show them how to create their own very own pizza, and then they get to enjoy that. So going down to Charlu's, homemade food just like Nana used to make, and just enjoy it in a friendly atmosphere as well. And also make sure you get some savings. Get on the Charlu's exclusive rewards program. Again, located just south of town, and you know, they're motto when you're there, your family. Anyway, we do appreciate that. And we talked earlier, we were going to talk about tacos, right? We're going to talk about tacos and not just Taco Tuesday. I remember my restaurants that I did, my last one I did Taco Tuesday, and we just did hundreds and hundreds of, I can't remember what we charged for them. It wasn't much. But, I mean, people would come in and they'd eat like six or eight of them.
Well, when we took over our son's lunch program, the first request they asked for was Taco Tuesday. Mm-hmm. That was a regular the entire time we were there. Taco Tuesday.
Yeah, kids love tacos. You know where tacos came from?
No, I don't.
Yeah. Well, there's two things I want to tell you about that. One is the silver miners in Mexico. They would when they were blasting to get through things, they would put gunpowder inside of a piece of paper and then fold the paper up and then slide it in between the rocks so they could light it and blow the rocks apart. So it was kind of, that's where they got that kind of like that taco taquito thing. The word actually comes from a Spanish word meaning either half or, what's the other one? Oh, middle. It means either half or middle, which makes sense for a taco. And there are, again, since we're talking about how many, you know, people in the United States are, we already figured out you're eating 279 eggs, 335 million people in the United States, right? Give or take. 335 million. We eat 4.5 billion with the B, 4.5 billion tacos.
In the United States.
In the United States. Yeah, I was going to. It's around 15 per person.
I don't know if it's more on West Coast than East Coast.
I'm way up on that one too.
Well, I think
way more than 15.
On
I
our
could eat 15
side,
in a week.
We are, you know, we are closer to Mexico as opposed to the East Coast. You know, your sister-in-law moved out here from New York.
Yeah.
She'd never even, you know, had taco or enchilada or anything Mexican. She didn't know what Mexican was.
Yeah. But they're over there on the other side by the Gulf of America.
Yeah.
You know?
So that's what I'm saying. I think California has weighted how many tacos are eaten in the United States.
Yeah. And as far as where the taco came from, you know, that was one of the things they had. But I was looking for like Taco Bell, because Taco Bell would be, you know, probably the premier. I didn't look to see how many Taco Bells there are. There are probably more Taco Bells outside of the United States than there are inside the United States. I know there were for McDonald's. You know, the menus kind of change depending on the culture and where they happen to be. But Glenn Bell is given credit for that. Glenn Bell. That's where Taco Bell came from. The gentleman's name was Glenn Bell. Taco Bell was in Downey, California. I don't even know where Downey, California is, but it's
more south.
It's not in the north. Yeah. I would know if it was in the north up here, so it's somewhere south. But anyway, I'm not saying Taco Bell's where I go for tacos, you can do anything with a taco. I guess we could call like an empanada if it was encased, but you know, you're just looking at it. What do you want to fill in? Beef? You know, seafood? Poultry? Think about beef. You've got what? You got ground beef. You've got shredded beef. What's that shredded beef? Barbacoa?
Barbacoa,
yeah. And then, or if it's diced and then you season it up, then it's, you know, kind of falls into the carne asada kind of area. You know, but look at fajitas, you know, we actually just had
fajitas.
We just had fajitas, yeah. And then seafood. You know, if I want a fish taco, I either want a nice firm fish that's been seasoned and grilled, or I'll be honest, I just like one that's really done well and deep fried.
I had never heard of a fish taco until I was in my 20s. I went down to college, and my roommate said, "Hey, you want to go to this place to get a fish taco?" And I about went, no, I had never thought of a fish being a taco. I can eat them now. I love them now. But culture shock, I had only had a ground beef taco growing up. That's it.
I don't think I invented Taco Tuesday, but I know that I've done it, you know, most of my life. And I don't remember hearing it first. I may have.
Well, that's where she took me down to Taco Tuesday down in Sacramento. I'm like, what is Taco Tuesday?
It's cheap tacos, you know. Well, and then you also have street tacos, which is obviously something you get in the street, because you know you can eat it. It's in your hand. It falls under the category of being a mobile. It's a mobile food.
They're almost a walking taco, and a lot of times the street tacos, they're a double tortilla because they're so small and thin. Usually, a lot of times you'll see a double tortilla on them.
And a little lime on there, you know, especially, chicken. You know, chicken dough is generally going to be more like a verde, right? Spanish for green.
Pollo verde.
Green. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like a pollo verde, there's just so many different things you could do with a taco. Also vegetables. I mean, it's easy to make a vegetable taco. I generally, when I heat up my taco shells, you know, first off, I would just recommend go out at the dollar store somewhere or whatever and just get one of those little warmers that hold the tacos. Like if you go to a Mexican restaurant, you have your tortillas come in one of those. Get one of those, you know, because when you're heating them. Because when I heat mine up, I just turn the fire on and in the kitchen, I just cook it right on the fire, on the burner. I don't know if that's good for me. I don't know if I'm getting any of my extra carcinogens and whatever those
I was exposed to all these things from my roommates in college. I had a roommate, too. She would, because we had an electric burner. No, actually, we had a gas burner. And she just turned on the flame on her gas burner because I only grew up with electric. And she just threw a tortilla right on the burner in the fire. And I went,
dad,
what?
Yeah, that's my dad did it. So that's just, you know, how I got used to. Also, I like flour tortillas.
And I like corn.
Yeah, well, I know corn is going to be better for you, and I'm not saying I dislike corn, but I do like a nice, crisp flour tortilla. You know, when you grill it almost like, you know, what they call that Armenian bread, lavash or something like that. Really thin, really thin, and nice and crisp and toasty. I know Isaac, our son, he's a crispy taco. And then now they got all the taco shells, the different flavors. I just rather just, you know, I don't make tacos. I mean, they're easy enough to make. You buy the masa, make the masa, and then just get a, you know, tortilla press and then cook them off. But they have a lot of specialty, tortillas now. I know, what's that one that you like? The, Hatch chili.
Hatch chilies,
yeah. You know, so there's a lot of different, you know, opportunities that you have out there to, you know, try different things. But tacos, again, you can't go wrong. They're just kind of, first off, they're easy to make, easy to eat. You don't usually have to clean up much, except for maybe whatever the protein is that you put it in. You know.
One fun tortilla that we discovered, because I grew up with just plain corn tortillas or just your plain flour tortilla. Then I think it was around the mid-80s, this style came in called gorditas. And when you deep fry a gordita, they puff up.
Puffy, fluff, fluff.
Yeah. Oh, they are so cool. I think that's what they make the taco salads with.
Yeah. You know what that reminds me of? Mom always made, grandma also before that, is Indian bread. Take your dough and just, you know, roll it out and then just into a disc, let's say maybe 6 inches in diameter. It doesn't have to be perfectly round, doesn't matter. And then you're just going to fry that in maybe a quarter inch of oil one side, then the other side. And that's not how then you get like jam and powdered sugar.
A traditional bread dough, just a classic white
just
bread
classic,
dough?
Yeah, classic bread dough. You know, and actually thinking of doing something that's sweet, we used to do a chocolate taco.
Mm-hmm.
We did a chocolate taco with kind of a really light almond brittle and then a chocolate mousse in the middle of it. And actually at Pesce Pasta, we actually had creative. It was chocolate spaghetti. But what I took is I took a German Spatzel press. It presses dough and it comes out like in long strands, and you just put your chocolate mousse in the Spatzel press it on the plate, and it looks just like spaghetti. Then we take and make a strawberry sauce and kind of drizzle it on there so it looks like, you know, to replicate the marinara, and then use white chocolate grated on top to look like the, you know, to resemble the Parmesan cheese. And then I made took a tool, T-U-I-L-E. It's a really thin dough. Kind of like the
twill.
Same, yeah. The same kind of dough that you use for, like fortune cookies. And then we just, you can wipe it on a stencil, and we made a little fork out of the cookie dough or the cracker.
Well, we made tacos. We made dessert tacos. What's the almond mixture we make? We bake in the oven, make kind of like the crunchy.
It's a Florentine.
So we took a Florentine. We cook a Florentine. As we heated it, shaped it over a rod to trick it into a taco shell, then filled it with the chocolate mousse, same as like your spaghetti one, and then put some raspberry sauce over the top. So we made a chocolate taco.
Well, all things you can do with tacos. Yeah. So anyway, enjoy your tacos out there, but we really appreciate you tuning in as always. Enjoy the weekend when it finally gets gets there. Remember, if you get a chance, take the word random out of the adage, random acts of kindness. And again, as my wife always says, be intentional. And God bless you, and have a wonderful evening. Thanks again, Cooking Like a Pro.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.